this is a text. We've been going through Isaiah, and I could not leave Isaiah without going over Isaiah chapter 58, because that is a core text for us, our church. If you read the book I wrote, Justice Matters, it is the part that talks about worship, and it's where I get the ideas of what God wants worship to be about. Worship is one of the most important things we do as Christians. We know, hopefully, that as we come together and lift our hearts before the Lord, things happen. I've literally seen lives change because they come and worship God, and they're, you know, under the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, and God changes lives. He changes minds and hearts, and I know that, you know, He did that for me, and I know He's done that for a lot of us here, and it's a powerful, wonderful grace that God uses to encourage people to know Him, to grow in Him, and that kind of thing. But the problem is that worship, and I categorize it in two ways. I talk about ceremonial worship. And ceremonial worship can end up with nothing, no good results, because it's just a matter of going to church, going through the motions, and going home. And that's where it ends. And that's not what worship is about. And then I talk about substantial worship, and we'll look at that. But this is the text where these ideas were kind of formed in my mind, because they're God's ideas. And so Israel had a real hard time worshiping God. They did all the ceremonies, right? But they were still idolaters. And, you know, just think about that. That's a pretty bad thing to think that, you know, I'm going to go and worship God and somehow pretense and then go and worship some idol afterwards, right? That's a very sad spiritual state. So here's the beginning of the text. Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So you have this word, I put it up there in Hebrew, the shofar, which is the Hebrew word for a horn, and it literally would have been an animal's horn, and they would make it into a trumpet sound. But it was a word used to talk about sounding warnings. If an enemy was coming to your city, the watchman on a tower would blow the horn, you know, warning people, hey, there's an enemy approaching, there's trouble coming, right? And so the Lord tells Isaiah to sound out, to be loud, and to warn his people about their transgression and sins. And the idea of transgression, literally the word used here, is to break relationship. Just think about that. One thing worship ought to be about is building relationship, but they're breaking their relationship with God. They're breaking it, and then their sin, the same word we use in Greek, harmatia, meaning to miss the mark, is the same idea behind the Hebrew word here, to go astray, to miss the mark. They were missing it, right? They're missing what they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to do. And even in, we'll see, the ceremony of worship, they were missing it. They were missing what the purpose was. And so it says, yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. And I like the NIV better in this case. They actually add a word that says seem. And I think the point of it is that's what God is saying. They seem to delight in my ways. They seem to seek me out, right? In other words, they're going through the motions. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. And then this is the voice of Israel say, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Now think about this idea. The Old Testament, you know, New Testament people, we kind of figure out church on our own, it seems, right? In the Old Testament, God gave them the temple. He designed it himself. He ordained the priesthood, told them what their jobs were, designed the sacrifices. Every bit of the ceremonial worship in Israel was God-given, and they were supposed to go through these processes, but it was supposed to do something. And they're saying, You know, and when you fast, right, fasting is like a real attempt to get with the Lord. I hope that, you know, some of us have done that, where we've set time aside, where we don't eat, and we fast before God, and we're praying to God and seeking God and asking Him to you know, help us, strengthen us, impart to us understanding, whatever we're looking for. But fasting, you know, is a real effort to, you know, submit the flesh and to be in the Spirit and to be with God. And so these guys are saying, you know, we're really going for it, but God doesn't see it. He doesn't recognize it. That means something's wrong, right? God doesn't see it. God doesn't recognize it. Wouldn't it be sad if at the end of the day we gather in a space like this and we sing our songs, we worship the Lord, we listen to something, and then go home and think, you know, did God even notice that we were there? That's a sad state of worship, right? Israel thought they were on the right path. They, you know, they thought, and so this happens to Christians, and some people who claim Christianity but really aren't Christians, that church is just something you do, and when you go, you check it off. Now I'm good because I went to church. And that's not what church is. Church is not just going to church. It's not like when you get done and you go home from here, you check off the box, I'm good for a week or two or three, depending on, you know, and then we'll go back and check the box off again. But that's not it, is it? That's not what the real sense of being in church is supposed to be about. You know, basically, what they were doing was something just kind of like a show. And one of the sad things I think that's happened in the last two generations of the church in America is that the church becomes a show. I've watched people, young people, come sometimes from other churches, and they sit in service, and they just kind of stare at us. They don't participate. They don't get involved because they've been taught this is a show. You're supposed to entertain me. You're supposed to show me something. There's supposed to be lights flashing and you know, professional music and that kind of stuff. But God's not interested in a show. God's not interested in something that's just, you know, again, check it off or just something to look at. God's interested in real worship. And so, you know, I think it's really sad when we think about it. Back in the day when I first became a Christian, we used to call it playing church, right? Yeah, people play in church. They're not going to church for real. They're just playing church. We don't want to play church, do we? We want to be right. Well, so God is talking about this people of Israel that basically was playing church. They weren't getting the thing right. They were just going through the motions. They were just going through the ceremony. But something was missing. And here's where he tells us what's missing. He says, behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desires. I like this idea. He calls it your fast, your desires. What's worship about? Is worship about me? You know, think about how, again, some people on television will tell you, you know, if you really like me and you really hang out, you send me money, God will give you something. God's going to give you money, right? So what am I looking for? Am I looking for God or am I looking for money? Right? And right, you've heard that message. I saw a guy, he was selling special spring water. And he literally said, you know, you send me money, I'll send you the spring water and God will bless you and give you money. It's like, how? What a charlatan, what a thief, what a criminal, and what a person that really does not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ or the power of God. And calls people to a worship that is about something other than God. People can go to worship just to feel better. You know, again, if I do it as a ceremony, I don't feel guilty. I had a lady tell me, they said, when I come to your church, I feel God, but I'm a Catholic and I feel guilty because I'm not a Catholic church. When I go to Catholic church, I don't feel God, but I don't feel guilty. Isn't that a sad statement about what church is about? Church is something to ease my guilt. Well, you know, we know there's forgiveness and grace and power in Christ, but there's so much more than just saying, I feel better about myself now. No, it's not it, right? So he says, it's your fast, your desires, and then what happens when they go out? He says, and you drive hard all your workers, behold, you fast for contention and strife, to strike with the wicked fist. You do not fast the way you do today to make your voice heard on high. So basically, he's saying nothing about the people changes. They go through their ceremony, they go through their fast, and they go home, and they're yelling at their employees, they're pounding them with their fists, they're fighting, and nothing in their heart has changed. One of the saddest things about Israel and Judah is that God was looking, and Jesus quotes this one from Hosea. He says, learn what it means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifice talks about the ceremony of worship. Mercy is about your heart changing, your life changing. God doesn't want people going through the motions. He doesn't want people playing church, right? And he basically says that, you know, going through the motions, he says, you know, is this the fast which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself, for bowing one's head like a reed, for spreading out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Meaning that, you know, if I'm just going through the motions, if I'm just trying to do something for myself, if I'm not focused on God, if I'm not focused on being what God wants me to be, if I'm not focused on doing something to glorify God, my worship is amiss. And that's what was happening in Israel. That's what happened in Judah. And that's how they could go right after that and go worship an idol, go worship something that isn't God. God is always looking for change. You know, one of the sad things about our world is it's a world of disparity. There's those who are powerful and those who are less powerful. Those who have wealth, those who are poor, those who run businesses or governments, and those who work for them. And basically, he's talking about the idea that when you have, you know, an unjust heart, you carry that with you out in the world. If your heart isn't right, if you're not walking with God, you go right out, and every position of power, right, you use to oppress somebody less powerful, someone weaker. We see that a lot. People are screaming in our, you know, in our streets about justice, and, you know, justice matters, and, you know, and we want to see justice. But folks, there's only one real way to know justice, and that's to know God. When you know God, you know what justice is. When you know God, you understand what racial reconciliation looks like. You know, it's about God and his people united under the power and grace of God. Right? But when you make worship and you know, your life about something other than God, then you act like everybody else acts. And that's what happened with these people. They acted just like everyone else acts. A little boy in the back's looking for justice. He says, now listen, then he turns to them and he says, is this not the fast I choose? And the idea of God choosing in this case means this is acceptable to God. And he's saying basically, this is the worship that I choose, that I find acceptable, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor, really it's the wanderer, which is an Old Testament category, into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. This is why this is one of our core values about Military Ave Church and being in the city, is this idea that when we have real ceremony, seeking God, seeking God's character, seeking God in our lives and in our hearts, and then we go out of this place, we have what I call substantial worship that follows. We care about people. We want to help people. We don't look at just our own needs like the mind of Christ. We look at the needs of others. We don't just consider ourselves to be okay. We care whether other people are okay, right? We care about others. The idea of breaking or tearing away the bonds of wickedness, and actually the word wickedness has to do with insecurity. This is an uncertain world, isn't it? It's a world that has trouble. It's a world that has unfairness, injustice all over the place. What God does with his people is he works in our hearts, he works in our minds, he works in our lives, so that when we go out, we actually do things differently. We don't do it because we're trying to give back, or we're trying to pay forward, or we're trying to glorify ourselves or glorify our church or even a business or whatever else that people do in these days when they claim to do charity. They're glorifying the wrong thing. We do it because God's at work in us. We do it because God has called us and directed us to it. We do it because we've worshiped God in truth and ceremony and spirit, right? We worship God. God has claimed our hearts and is working inside of us, giving us grace. And when we walk outside, we are sharing that grace with the world in which we live. We're sharing God's grace, God's love, God's compassion with the world we live in. When Jesus talks about the separation of sheep and goats in Matthew 25, and he talks about, you know, you who were blessed, right? He says, you who were blessed. It didn't mean now you're blessed. I mean, you were blessed in your life because when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me naked, you clothed me. When you saw me in need, you took care of me, right? That's what it means to be blessed by God. Any other definition of blessed doesn't fit the gospel. And people always walk around, I'm blessed. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean God is working in my life. God is present with me. And God is teaching me how to care about his people. That's the other part of this. He says it's not just the idea, it's like their own flesh. We love the church. We're first and foremost for the church, right? Those who are part of the body of Christ, we will, you know, do ultimately a lot more for them. Those who are outside, we also care. What's the number one thing we care about for those who don't know Jesus Christ? That they would get saved, that they would know Jesus Christ, that they would know the power of God and the salvation that comes from Christ, and that they would know him and love him and become part of the body of Christ. That's why, like when we do our VBS or we do the food or any other outreach thing we do, we always are sharing the gospel. We will always share the gospel because that's the lifeline for people to come to know God, to know Christ. There's a need of this kind of substantial worship for God's people. So when we worship God well, when we worship God ceremonially with a heart that seeks God sincerely, it creates substantial worship, which goes out into the world and changes not lives, not the city. We're never going to change this city. You know, we are not, but we have seen God change lives. We have seen God reach in and do things that people look at and say, why would you do that? It says, because God directed our heart to do it, because God leads us and God doesn't think the way you think. We talked about that last time, right? God's ideas and his ways are different than our ways. And when we worship God, we learn his ways and we start to live out his ways. That's the whole purpose of our existence, is to bear the image of God, to show who he is. So ceremonial worship that's right, acceptable, leads to substantial worship, which is carrying out God's love to the world. Then he says, and this, yeah, it's like now, and then what does that lead to? He says, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Isn't that a nice set of blessings right there? He says, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in a scorched place and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. The idea is basically the acceptable ceremonial worship leading to substantial worship leads to a deep, wonderful relationship with God. You know, it's amazing. This is 700 years before Christ. And God is laying out the pattern, the cycle of what worship leads to and what worship accomplishes. You see in chat in the very beginning, he say, I'm not recognizing, I'm not seeing it. There's no relationship with God when we look at worship as just something we do and check off a box or we play church, something like that. It doesn't lead anywhere. It's dead. It's empty. It's almost as bad as idolatry. But worship that is sincere and real, that leads to God's presence in your heart and life, and worship that therefore goes to substantial worship, how we live our lives and what we do outside the doors, and then it leads to this great relationship with God. It's an awesome thing that God laid before us in these texts. His healing, his righteousness, glory. It's so awesome to think when we pray, God hears us. When we pray, God hears us. I think about the poor people through this history that worshiped idols, and God said, you're going to be deaf and dumb just like your idols. We're not deaf and we're not dumb because we know our God sees, our God knows, our God cares, and our God answers. He is a living, powerful God. I just kind of wanted you to see this process. Again, ceremonial worship, sincerely seeking God. God-centered. It's not, you know, about us. It's about God. That's why, you know, we come in here and we sing. We just keep singing. Why don't you do something? We sing. We love. Because at that time, we're trying to focus our mind, our heart on God when we sing. But that should lead to something outside the doors. That should lead to change in our heart, change in our lives. Sometimes it's a change that happens in your household. You go out, you know, and you're not the same husband. You're not the same wife. You're not the same child. You're different because God is working. You start to see things God's way, and you start to understand things need to drop off and change, and that comes out of that sincere ceremonial worship, but that leads to substantial worship that goes out the door and changes our character to live out God's character. That's what it's really about, isn't it? This is, by the way, the Old Testament would be a law. The law said you should take care of the poor, the widow, the orphan. We don't have a law. We have the grace of God speaking in our hearts, saying, do you see that? Go help them. That's it. It's that simple. You know, God makes us aware and tells us what to do, and then we go do it. Substantial worship. But then that also leads to a deeper relationship with God. There's nothing, think of all that you might have in this world. Is there anything in this world that is better than having an absolute close relationship with God where he says, you are my child and I am your God? There's nothing like that. There's nothing. You can't buy anything like that. You can't, you know, and what's awesome about it, it doesn't change. It doesn't go away. It's permanent. It's forever. Unlike diamonds. It is forever, the relationship that God gives us. It also ultimately indicates that we belong to the kingdom of God. One of the most important things, remember Jesus sent out the guys and they were so excited. Man, demons are listening to us. We healed people. He says, don't be so excited about that. Be excited that your name is written in the book of life, that you belong to the kingdom of heaven. When God's doing this work in us and we become closer to him, we see it. God is making us. And that's why this last little piece that kind of seems like it doesn't fit. He says, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll rise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the streets in which to dwell. And we see that sometimes in Christian stuff. I mean, around here, this little area, we call it holy space, right? It's not permanent, but it is something that God has done through the years. God has done something where he has created a space in this neighborhood for people to come and know him, people to come and meet with him, people to come and see his hand at work through different, you know, ministries and things that reach out to people, right? But ultimately, it's not about this, is it? Ultimately, it's about the establishment of the absolute kingdom of heaven where everything is perfected. Every wall is perfect. Every structure is perfect. And every person is perfected. We see a glimpse of that in our life here, in how we worship, how we go out and worship in the world, how we have a relationship with God. But it ultimately leads to the kingdom of heaven. It ultimately leads to our place with God forever. Isn't God awesome? Isn't he great? We know that we are able to do this kind of worship far better than Israel or Judah ever could. Do you know why? We have a Savior named Jesus. And when we think about these lofty ideas in Isaiah 58 and the call to be God's people, we know it's through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We know that it's not about me just working up to do these things. It's about me asking God, help me, God. Help me to worship. Help me to carry that out into the streets. Help me to have a good relationship with my Father. Help me, Lord, to be kingdom directed and kingdom minded. Help me, Lord, through the blood and body of Jesus. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. And again, we'll do this the same way we've been doing it